Hello, and welcome to another Trev and Ben podcast. Hello, Ben.
Hello, Trev. How are you?
Oh, don't ask.
Well, I sort of have to ask, because people wouldn't necessarily be surprised to learn that we do talk during the week. We don't always just talk once a week for this podcast. And I asked you how you were doing the other day in preparation for today's recording.
Yeah.
And I got a very worrying message from you saying basically you couldn't talk to me on the phone like we normally do. You were extremely hurt. Mm. And to have a little think about times I've been hurt so we can talk about it on the podcast. Yeah. So I was sitting there thinking, oh my God, what's wrong with Trev? So what's wrong?
You know, over the last few months, I've talked about pains I've had in my feet or whatever, and I've had to use the walking stick. I've talked about
sorry,
the walking stick.
Shouldn't laugh.
Well, the walking stick has been a godsend this week because I don't know what happened. I didn't do anything, but my leg started last Monday. My leg started to just sort of say, oh, do you know what? I'm just going to hurt a little bit for no real reason. I'm going to start hurting a little
right.
bit around the knee area and above. And then by Tuesday, the pain had got a lot worse. The knee and top of the leg had swelled up to quite a huge extent.
Wow.
And I'm a typical man. I'm thinking, well, I won't phone the doctor yet. It can't be anything too serious. I then started having fevers, right?
Trev. So,
and then Tuesday night, the pain in my leg was, I never experienced pain like this. It was like someone was jabbing my leg with hot coals, kicking it at the same time, probably stabbing it with a knife at the same time. And as I speak to you now, I'm sitting here with my leg still straight out because it's still not really bendable. But the pain isn't anywhere near where it was. But I'd not experienced pain like it. I was like an old man. I mean, one day I couldn't even come downstairs. There was no way I was going to make it down the stairs.
My God. You know, you can call me if you need something, you know. I mean, I can understand why you haven't, because that would be quite a shift in our relationship where I suddenly become your carer.
But also, how would you get in? You'd have to break the door down. We'd have to get a rope ladder, get up to the bedroom window to get in. It would all cause a bit of a scene.
It would a bit, but I'd rather that than you just sit there suffering for weeks. So have you done anything? Was there a trauma?
I don't know what it was. I didn't bother with the doctor in the end.
So you haven't even sought medical attention?
No, because it's sort of sorting itself out, and I thought in time it'll be fine. But the worst thing about this, Ben, is I got a real glimpse of me as an old man, because there was one moment on the Thursday when I'd managed to get down the stairs. It'd taken me about 15 minutes to get down the stairs, but I got down, I got the walking stick, I'm walking along, but I'm having to walk at a very odd angle because of the pain. And that then had a knock-on effect in that then I pulled something in my foot and then my back started to hurt.
Oh, for God's
sake,
man.
So I was completely like bent over with the walking stick. And I caught myself, you know, those horrible moments when you catch yourself in the reflection in the window through the darkness outside of me disheveled, bent over a walking stick. And I just thought, well, there is a picture of your future. There it is. That's you as an old man in this life of pain and misery. That's what you've got to look forward to. So enjoy every moment you now have that's going to be pain-free, because those days are coming, and they're coming quickly.
This is the most depressing start to any podcast we've ever done.
Well, that's the sort of week I've had, Ben. It's been excruciating.
I know that in the past you have told me you've woken up injured from your nightly tussling.
But when you say nightly tussling, let's put some context on that. That's weird dreams where I'm fighting with a duvet. Nothing
yes,
else.
You're quite an aggressive sleeper. And you can often pull something during that process.
Yes.
So I wondered if that's maybe what you've done. Because to not know, But it just reassure me, it is getting better,
It is getting better, but it's a new landmark in my life where there's a new level of pain never experienced before that I've had to find a way to work through. And that's I think that's sort of a bit of a landmark in life, isn't it? And as you get older, I'm sure that there's new and bigger pain to come. So it's great preparation for old age. Because have you ever had so much pain, Ben? So much pain that you've almost been sick or passed out as a result of it?
No. I think people will find this very hard to believe, but because you can vouch, I am one of the clumsiest human beings.
So clumsy. I mean, that's the thing. I'm not clumsy.
I've never broken a bone. I've never done anything bad like that. The worst thing I've ever done to myself was when I was a child. I was trying to be helpful to my mum.
Okay.
And I said, all right, mummy, just going to lock the back door for the night. And I went and slammed the back door to the house with my index finger in the hinge of the door.
Now that is going to hurt.
It sliced my finger almost off.
Oh.
She had to rush me to A&E to get multiple stitches.
Oh, Ben, you're making me feel a bit queasy.
To this day, the tip of my left index finger grows a bit weirdly.
Does it?
The scar's still there. It's not quite right, but it's passable. So that would probably be the worst thing I've ever done to myself. Although it was so long ago, I can't really remember the pain, but I, from what my mum tells me, there was a lot of crying, a lot of blood.
I can imagine. That'd be horrendous.
So that's the worst thing I must have ever done to myself.
Were you right? Because there must have been quite a lot of blood.
Yeah, I think I was. Fortunately, my mum is she's since retired, but was a very competent nurse. So she knew exactly what to do and look after me and stem the bleeding and whatnot.
Right, yeah.
But yeah, that would probably be the worst injury I've ever done to myself. And I've amazingly never done anything else since that's been noteworthy.
Yeah.
I do have one that I've just remembered, which is entirely my own fault.
Right.
And there is, it's something to do with youth and stupidity that combined gave way to this terrible, I'm not even going to call it an accident because I was begging for it.
Right.
In hindsight, I once was cycling my bike home at night.
No lights, I bet.
And I wondered to myself.
Ignored that.
I wondered to myself, as a arrogant, I'm going to live forever teenager.
Yeah.
By the way, I should throw in something else. I was quite good on my bike. I could ride my bike with no hands.
All right, Evel Knievel. But, yep. I mean, that's like people saying when they've had 17 pints and got in a car. It's like saying, well, I'm a great driver.
Yeah, so what I wondered was to myself, as a hormone-raging moron teenager, I wonder how long I could ride my bike for with no hands,
no
with feet. With my eyes closed.
You fucking prick. I mean, that's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. And the thing is, you're not even doing this. You're just doing this for yourself. Like, you're not doing this to show off to anyone. Like,
there was no audience.
There wasn't like a young Mrs. Ben that you were trying to impress. You're going, hey, look at this. I'm going to sit. Because she would never have decided to spend the rest of her life with you had she have known this sort of mind that she was to marry. So you thought, I wonder how long I can ride my bike A, hands-free. I think every child has had that thought.
Yes.
But then you've gone, and B, with my eyes closed. Let me ask you this. Were you riding on the road? Was it a pavement? Was it like a country lane? Were you in a park? What sort of surroundings were you attempting this ludicrous stunt in?
I was on the road.
On the road. So you're taking on traffic, blind and hands-free. Brilliant.
It was quite late at night. I was going to say it was dark, but that doesn't really matter if you've got your eyes closed, does it?
No. And I'll ask the question again. Did you have lights?
Of course not.
So perfect time to be cycling hands-free and blind.
So, I mean, I think it's an odd thing to have the thought to do that.
Yes.
But to actually then go ahead and try it, I think speaks of a special kind of stupid.
How old were you?
I guess I was 15 years old.
So I was going to ask, was there any alcohol involved?
There may have been.
At 15? I mean, the police should have been involved in this incident in so many
Social
ways.
Social services.
Yes. So you're out in the dark with no lights on your bike and you've been drinking. I mean, this would have you... Esther Ranson would take this as a project.
So, by the way, the answer to anyone who was interested is how long can you ride your bike
with
no hands?
Did you start a stopwatch or were you counting in your head? I mean, how scientifically was this experiment undertaken?
No, funny enough, there wasn't a lot going on in my head. it didn't take long. I'd say probably 5 seconds before I came off the bike extremely hard.
Was there a hill? Were you coming down a hill or was it a straight bit of road?
It was a straight bit of road. Right. I wasn't quite mad enough to do it downhill. That would be,
that'd be ridiculous, wouldn't it?
That would be stupid, wouldn't it? I completely shaved the skin off of both kneecaps.
I'm not surprised.
Which is an element I remember because I remember my mum. I feel terrible about this in hindsight because I'm now remembering my mum in tears.
Yeah.
While she mopped up my skinless knees, trying to sort of clear the gravel from them and make me feel better. Because I think I was also wearing shorts.
I mean, honestly, there's nothing of this story that gives you any redemption.
No, so I can only apologise for it. Apologise to my mother, who looked after me like she always has to. And just sort of, just admit that, you know, we're all dumb and stupid once.
But those things that you, when you're a kid, that you want to try, I used to create in my back garden, I used to call it like a stunt run for me on my bike. And it involved, at the back of the end of my garden when I was a kid, there was lots of old bricks and old floorboards, I think, from where my dad's done jobs in the house. They've all been put down the end of the garden. So I'd create sort of ramps and all kinds of things, right? And the sort of finale of the stunt run was, I can't really remember how I'd set it up, but ultimately a brick would be launched into the air.
Oh dear.
And I'd have to get past the flying brick before it hit me.
My God.
But I used to sort of do this quite a few times. And then that day came when I think my mum caught me out the window with sort of mid brick flying. And I seem to remember getting a bit of a bollocking for that.
But
yeah, I was never
fair.
Hit by the brick.
I mean, I can't really sit in too much judgment, can I, after my last story?
Not really. I don't think you can ever sit in any high chair of judgment with that ridiculous notion. But can I just say, why were you wearing shorts? Was it summer?
Mate, I currently am wearing shorts. I wear shorts all year round.
I wanted to ask you about this. Because,
go ahead.
Our old friend, John from Guildford.
Oh, yes.
I ended up having to speak to him a couple of weeks ago. It was really nice to catch up with him, have a little chat. And he did ask me about you.
Oh,
and
did he?
He did. He asked me about you and your shorts. and he said, tell me.
A strange fetish he's got there, is it?
He said, he's Ben, the type of postman who wears shorts all year round. And I said, I think he is. I'm pretty certain Ben will wear, it could be fucking freezing and he'd be out there in his shorts. And you are, aren't you?
I am. You are correct, sir.
What? Why?
Because honestly, when, and I'm not saying this to brag or anything, but I have a health app on my phone.
Right.
And it counts the amount of steps I do a day.
I don't see where trousers or shorts come into this.
I'm getting there. Don't worry, I'm getting there.
Hey, yeah.
And basically, it regularly on a work day will by the end of the night register around 20,000+ steps.
Yeah.
When you're walking for 20,000 plus steps every single day, you don't really get cold.
I suppose that's a fair point.
Keep the legs pumping and they won't be cold. It's like exercising. Mm. But it's not like exercising. It is exercising. So you don't really feel the cold that much. And it's also nice to have a bit of freedom down there. You don't want to be, when you're doing 20,000 steps, you don't want restriction around your legs. You want it to be as free as possible.
You are what is known in the trade as a freeballing postman.
So Trev, do you remember last week I told you that I had been intentionally dodging the news for an entire week?
Yes, and you were feeling much better for it.
Yeah, I was feeling much better for it. And I've been tuning back into the news recently to see if it was just a coincidental week that I was feeling a bit chirpy. But no.
Now, you I did say that you were going to go back. It was everything in moderation, that we'd come to that conclusion. So have you just been, oh, it's 1 o'clock, I'd have a quick listen to the headlines, turn it off? Or have you gone back full circle to listening to it for prolonged periods?
I must say, if I'm being honest, I have gone back to prolonged periods.
Oh, Ben, it's a bad mistake to make.
But there was a thing that I heard today which really pissed me off. It pissed me off mainly because it was an advert, but it wasn't a commercial advert. It was just a sort of public service announcement.
Right.
The message was basically, open your windows, ventilate the air, and that'll help get rid of COVID-19 particles in the air, and you're less likely to get sick. That's basically the message.
Seems good, wise, sage advice.
So they could... And by the way, the reason I stress this wasn't a commercial advert was because no one's gaining anything from this, as far as I can tell. No one is, at all. So they could have done the advert, hi, just a friendly reminder to remind you to open your windows and ventilate the oxygen in the room to clear out any potential COVID-19 particles. It'll help get rid of it and you'll be less sick. Stay safe, everybody. Nice, that would have been nice.
Nice little jaunty message.
Yeah, could have been like nice.
One of those 1940s public information. Hello, why not stop the spread of COVID-19 by opening all windows and doors? Thank you very much for listening. Have a jolly good day.
Could have done that.
Doop-a-bip.
Informative,
yes.
Helpful, friendly.
Conversational.
No one's mental health is being drained, because these little adverts, they take a little piece of your soul every time you listen to them. They could have chosen that friendly route. Did they fuck? What I heard in my fucking ears was COVID-19 lurks on surfaces. Open the windows to help ventilate, or COVID-19 could spread. I thought, for fuck's sake, what is this? Why such scaremongering? Why are we trying to terrify everyone? The message is the same. You could choose to deliver it in a nice, helpful, friendly way to not scare the living shit out of everybody. Yeah. Or you can go down this demon method and just spread the terror. And at the end of the day, once you've been listening to the radio for hours and hours, I swear to God, these little things chip. You don't even recognize it consciously. They chip away at your mood and make you feel awful. I'm this close to having a tantrum and throwing the radio app off my phone entirely.
Well, do, because it's made you particularly truculent.
It has made me truculent.
And it's becoming quite obvious to me that you need to go back to that everything in moderation idea.
But even if I had it in moderation, I would still notice that they are doing these things. And I can't understand. Like I say, it's not commercial. No business is gaining out of this.
No.
So what do they have to gain from making these messages as scary as possible? Is it simply that bad news sells better? You'll get your message across better with bad news.
Well, I think, yeah, partly that, but it's probably partly the fact that because COVID is a scary thing, right? And maybe they feel the message of how scary it is, if we don't still all do our little bit, which we still need to be doing, even though things are a bit better, then if you just have a friendly little voice coming on saying, oh, hello, everybody. Just me again. Just a quick reminder. Open windows, you know, open doors. Let the air go through. It's not going to hit. That's not going to stay in your mind. But if you hear, everyone is going to die, that will stay there. Because the first thing you go, fucking hell, I've got to listen to this shit. There's a thing, right? There's a rule that I was told when I first started making adverts, is you've got to hook the people in, right? That's the first thing you do, hook people in. And one of the things I was always told was never start a commercial with a question to which the listener can answer no.
And I think that's interesting.
I think that's a brilliant lesson that I learned very early on. And I hear a lot of adverts that go, you know, have you recently? No, I haven't. So there's no reason for me to listen to the rest of this bullshit. I'm not interested. So you should never do that. So there's all these rules about making adverts. And these people that do them, they all learn the same rules. They all sit in the same wanky rooms, go, well, this is how you make them. And they all have their own slightly different ones. I mean, that whole idea of don't start with a question, that's clearly not a standard rule, because
of course
you wouldn't,
it isn't.
You wouldn't get adverts that start, have you ever? No, I haven't.
The reason that is such utter wank is because it's a rule. And I say that, I hope you can hear the air quotes I'm doing with my fingers when rule that some fucking radio consultant has made up and charged someone to fucking listen to.
I once went to this thing, right, once, that was this American guy who's a massive name in the radio world, right? I'm not going to say his name because people love him. And I got into an argument. My mate told me to fuck off once.
Because, really?
Because he mentioned this guy's name and I went, oh, fuck off. Don't talk to me about him. And he went, fuck off. He's brilliant. Because I went to this thing. Now, admittedly, I went with a cynical attitude. I'll confess that now, because I don't like being sent on these things because I'm just not really interested. I was doing my job. I was making adverts. I don't need some yank coming over telling me how to do it better, right? But anyway.
Just a jot of racism, I think, thrown in there. Just a hint.
Well, I don't need anyone. But I don't particularly need this overconfident, hollering and whooping knobhead coming over telling me how to make adverts, right? So anyway, he done the whole morning thing. I can't remember what we did. He played us adverts that were so irrelevant to the British market as well. That was the other thing. The thing that really put me off this guy was having listened to his wank the whole morning. We then had a lunch break. This was all at Planet Hollywood, the restaurant in London, which I don't know if it's there anymore. So it's quite a lavish thing that was all put on. And then he basically then spent the opening 20 minutes, half an hour of the afternoon session. Oh, we spent about 10 minutes trying to get his fucking microphone working. I thought, this is a fucking radio day. Jesus Christ, mate, get a fucking mic that works. And then he spent about 20 minutes, half an hour, sending us his educational CD and book set that was like 200 odd quid. And I thought, if you're that good at making fucking radio ads, make a fucking 30-second advert selling me your fucking shit. Don't stand there for half an hour trying to sell with this bollocks. So you're right, there is a whole load of wank that goes on. But I think, going back to that question rule, I actually think that's a decent rule.
Well, I mean, it's not to say everything. There might be a nugget of truth in what some radio consultant has to say, but you've really got to search for it. And it's probably not always going to be 100% accurate, is it? I mean, I had a great... I'd love to claim this was my own, but it wasn't. It was from someone we used to work with. I won't say any more than that. Who said, basically, a radio consultant is the type of person who would steal your watch and then ask you if you wanted to know the time.
But any consultant, it's not just radio, isn't it? Consultancy. I mean, have you ever, in any industry, I mean, I've told you this thing before, this was nothing to do with radio. Although I was working for a radio station, we had this consultant come in to try and tell us how to change the way the organisation worked. And it was the biggest pile of wank. And this guy must have been being paid a fortune. It was 2 days of our lives given up to this bullshit. And in the end, we all had to sit there clenching our buttocks. I don't know how that changed the way the organisation worked. The organisation didn't get any better for us all having spent 2 days that we couldn't do our work in. Pure nonsense. So I don't react well to going on these sorts of things when people say, oh, you know, we're going to send you on a course or you're going to go to this. Like, nah, not interested, mate. I mean, I'm not saying you can't learn things from people. Of course you can, you know, but it's the bullshit that goes with it that I can't stand. You know, if you want to bring someone in to spend half a day with me and actually teach me stuff that's worth it, brilliant. I would embrace that. But it's this whole thing. And the worst thing is when you have to do these. I went to something recently, right? This wasn't a consultancy day. It was just I'll be very careful about what I say here because they're one of my main clients. So I'll be, they're very nice people, right? But they said, well, because everyone's been out with COVID and stuff, we thought it'd be nice to have a team day. And as you're a freelancer part of our team, we'd like you to come in. And so, fine, go and do that. But the thing that really I knew in the pit of my stomach was not going to be good was they said, the day will, you know, turn up at this time, there's coffee and then we're not calling it speed dating, but That's what it is. And I thought, what is this? And it was basically one of those team building things. And I don't like those. Not interested in those. They make me feel physically sick. And this one was, you were given a number and then you had to find the person with the same number as you. And then you had 4 minutes to find the most obscure thing that you had in common. And we could find fuck all. I'd never met this guy before. He was a nice bloke, but we had fuck. We ended up making something up. And then, then we had to go back and report. And then the next thing is you then teamed up with another group and then, and so on and so forth. And it all lasted only about 25 minutes, but just, can we stop all that shit? You know, fine. Have a team day. Let's all sit down and discuss how we can work better. But then we don't need all that bollocks. Take all that out.
I agree. I must say there is a sort of line to be drawn, because sometimes I'm at work and I do feel like I'm paid to do this job, but I'm not paid enough to care about this job, which is probably my downfall of really, I should probably try and adjust that mentality, because it doesn't end well, does it?
Have you ever tried thinking about how long you could do your job as a postman with your eyes closed? Thank you, Ben, for coming on this one-day course of how to make a radio commercial. It is, of course, time for our commercial breakdown, Ben, where we can really employ all the rules we've learned.
Of course. Yeah, we can put all of those rules, all the tricks of the trade we learned in the radio industry into making a perfect advert. So, yeah, this is a commercial breakdown. If you don't know what this is, you really should by now, but we basically forged together a radio advert. So this week, I am going to pick an optician's.
An optician's. Okay.
Yeah. So what product are we going to randomly generate that we have to force together with an optician's?
Okay. Give us a number.
Let's go number 4.
Screwdrivers.
Right. Okay. We've got our work cut out for us. Oddly appropriate for the radio station we used to work at.
Yes. Yes. Well, that's it. Well, you're going to need good eyesight to put in a screw correctly.
Are we going to try and be grown-ups about this and avoid any obvious screwing gags, or are we happy to go with that?
It's
our bread and butter, isn't it?
Never
really
bothered us at the radio station, did it? I mean, it was even better if we could come up with a really rude idea for a game or something.
The filth is in the ear of the listener. Always remember that. That's one of your golden rules.
Yeah, yeah.
That's £1,000, please.
So, screw you. Screw you. Get screwed.
So where can we go with this? We need the concept for it. So are we giving away screwdriver sets with an eye test a pair of glasses? How much money do you have to commit before you get our product?
I think go for it, because I mean they don't have to be decent screwdrivers, right? So really shabby set,
just like Christmas cracker screwdrivers.
Yeah, like those really little ones that you get that last one turn of a screw and they're fucked.
Mind you, those tiny screwdriver sets you get in Christmas crackers might be useful for the tiny
for the
screws
glasses
within the glasses on the handles of the what do you call them, frames, I suppose.
Yeah, the arms.
Yes.
What do you got? The handles? Of the two of us, you're the glasses wearer. So, I love these handles on these glasses. They're great. Handles.
Yeah. All right. It's embarrassing.
Yeah. So, perhaps you have got handles. You need them so big because your prescription is just wrong. You've just got like big door handles on the side of your face.
Oh, dear. Right, so
are they mini screwdrivers?
Save
so
are my we giving blushes, away, where are we going?
Are we giving away mini screwdrivers? Basically, this is a really shoddy opticians. They're selling really cheap glasses with really bad handles that will come loose, but they're not going to repair them. They don't do repairs. So you get your free screwdriver set.
Okay, so you've got to repair your own.
That's not really a selling point for
not
the optician.
Not really. We're trying to sell
the optician here.
Arguably, that's a downside to the product.
I think basically you go for an eye test, you get free screwdrivers, and that you were giving away a set of differing sizes. So you will get the little ones, which will be handy for the glasses, but you'll also get, you know, normal size screwdrivers for things around the home.
So you've got to have your sight, if you know, taking on an odd job around the house,
yeah,
have your vision screwed on.
Yes.
That's not and really see, an expression that people use.
And see your home improvements.
There you go.
See your home improve.
Want visible home improvements.
Want 2020 home improvements.
There we go. It's all coming together.
Right.
So that's what we're doing. We're giving away a screwdriver set when you spend a certain amount on a pair of glasses.
You've got to actually buy some glasses.
Is that where you want to go? You want to, I mean, it would make it more
profitable. You can't just give them away with itis. It's got to be, if you've spent a certain amount on the handles and the bits around the eyes, what are they called? Oh, the glasses. Yes.
The seers.
The lenses. So the lenses and when you spend the money on those, you get a free set of screwdrivers. So that's the idea. We've got that. Tagline. Need a tagline.
Okay. I mean,
get screw you, get screwed.
No, I'm not sure they really sell our product.
You know B&Q?
Yes.
You know their tagline is, you can do it when you B&Q it?
Yes.
What about we have, you can do it... You can do it when you see and screw it.
There we go. It's all coming together.
We just need someone to voice it now. I mean, we can go for someone from the DIY world.
Or we can go with a famous glasses wearer.
Yeah. What about Alan Carr?
Well, I was seeing Stephen Merchant.
Stephen Merchant, yeah. Would he be well-known enough...
Stephen Merchant? Yeah, I'd have thought so.
But if you heard his voice, bearing in mind this isn't in vision.
Oh, yeah, I'd know Stephen Merchant's voice a mile away.
No, you'd know his voice, but would you go, oh, glasses wearer?
Yes, I think, I don't want to be rude, but I think he's rather well known for his unusual look, shall we say.
Yeah.
As well as being a very, very talented individual,
yeah.
I should stress. Oh, God, what am I doing to myself? That's me never working with Steve Merchant.
I mean, it's a shame we haven't got any of the two Ronnies left. They'd be ideal, wouldn't they? They'd be perfect.
Oh, Trev!
Go on.
And it's good sight from me.
Oh, yeah, no, let's use that. Let's definitely use that instead. Let's bring the two Ronnies back from the dead.
It's got to be some CGI.
Yeah, or we could get an impressionist to do it. You get Rob Brydon in. He definitely does Ronnie Corbett.
Does he? He's never mentioned it.
Yeah, so we get him in. Steve Coogan. Between them, and we could get the other one to do like Ronnie Barker, but doing all those sort of piss pronunciations, all those sorts of things that Ronnie Barker used to do. So
right. let's get Steve Coogan and Rob Brydon doing the two Ronnies.
And the tagline is, it's good sight from me and it's good sight from him.
Yeah, that'll work, won't it?
Right. Music. Just need the music.
Oh, God. Oh, it's going to have to... there must be loads of vision-based...
Yeah.
One Vision.
Queen.
Yeah.
One Vision. Okay, so we've got One Vision Queen going in the background.
I don't know how that relates to this. I think I've sort of obsessed with the sight bit of this. I've sort of lost...
Yeah.
Lost, ironically, I've lost sight of the screwdrivers.
Well, they are the bonus set. I mean, we're just selling the idea that they're going to be given free. Right? So that can all be... We've got all the stuff about, you know... See the improvements in your house. Put the screws on those jobs that you've been putting off. All those sorts of things. And then at the end, we've got Ronnie Barker going, ladies and gentlemen, Miss Barbara Dixon. No, it's good sight from him.
I thought it was Ronnie Corbett and Ronnie Barker, not Bruce Forsyth.
Well, he'd be perfect. Wouldn't it be nice to see you?
Oh, wow. Nice. Hang on. We're going to do the last minute recasting here. Well, nice to see you. Oh.
Well, can we just have him come in at the end?
So we've nice to see you, to screw you nice.
Before we wrap up this week, Ben, I just want to share a couple of things with you that during my week of pain and turmoil. Just want to remind you of the week I've had. It's all very well having this time of mirth together. I just want to remind you of the pain and the turmoil. But there has been a couple of things that have really made me smile.
Good.
And just want to share with you a couple of clips of things that have cheered me up. Did you hear about Doug, the giant potato?
I have not heard about this.
Well, this is potentially the world's biggest ever potato. It was dug up by a couple in New Zealand, and
is that where he gets his name?
That's why it's called Doug. Yeah.
Okay.
The potato in itself is quite impressive, but what I liked more was the couple, particularly the bloke who dug up.
Okay.
Because, well, I'll let you hear what he had to say about it.
I got the fork and jabbed into it and hoiked it out of the ground, and holy snapping turtle teeth, what's going on here?
Now,
there's
a phrase I'm going to start working into my daily life.
Holy snapping turtle that. Teeth, what's going on here?
What's going on here?
I'm having that.
And then he then talks about the potato quite a lot. But then there's a slight edge of madness, I think, to this guy, because Doug is eventually, I think, going to be turned into vodka. He wants to make it into his own vodka, as the Doug's owner. I'm going to call him owner. But in the meantime, he's really looking after Doug.
You know, poor fella, he doesn't have arms and legs and that sort of thing. So I made him a little trolley so we can take him out and give him a bit of sunshine now and then, you know.
It's nice, isn't it?
Yeah, but he seems almost surprised that his potato didn't have arms and legs.
Got handles though. But isn't that a nice thing? He's taking Doug out for a little walk.
Lovely. Bit weird.
Yeah, slightly weird. I'll give you that. The other thing that made me laugh this week, and I know that you have heard this, was something from Fox News.
Oh, this was amazing.
So the show was hosted by Laura Ingraham, and her guest on was pundit Raymond Arroyo.
Yes.
And Raymond was probably having some sort of Fox-like rant about the woke generation. I suspect that's where this all started. And I'll play this first bit and we'll see where it goes.
The politics and all those woke storylines in so many shows today. You know, I was watching an episode of You where measles came up.
Wait. When did I mention measles?
I don't know. It was on You.
What was on me? What are you talking about? Right? Is Raymond even hearing what I'm saying? I never had the measles.
What's on you?
We never did a measles and vaccine episode. Is this a joke?
I know.
I don't even know what you're talking about.
It was on you. It was on you.
I've never had measles. What are you talking about? This is stupid.
It was an episode of a show, Laura.
Right. So it gets there in the end. Now, I can understand, to a degree, slight confusion when you use the word you and you are talking to someone.
Who, me?
I can kind of get it a little bit. It was taking way too long for the penny to drop. But then he says, you know, it was a show. You'd think, oh, she's got it. She surely has got it now.
You'd have thought so.
That'd be the end of the matter.
What's it called?
Oh, God.
You.
What is
you.
He talking about?
It's called You.
I've never done a show on measles. I just completely give up. We got to get
it's
out of
it. It's a show
I give up.
Called You on Netflix.
He can't be much clearer than that, can he?
No.
So there's a program called You on Netflix. That it's very clear now. I can get there might have been some early confusion, but I'd suggest by now it's 100% clear.
Yes, I'd have thought so.
There's a show called Laura Ingraham on Netflix.
No! No, there isn't.
Surely there isn't a show called Laura Ingraham on Netflix.
You would probably know if there was a show that had your name attached to it. Raymond, by now, he's had enough.
What are you
Never mind.
About?
I'm moving on to Adele.
Fuck all this shit. Man, I mean, I don't know. I don't know Laura Ingraham, but there's not much going on up there, is there?
No, I hope she saw the funny side, if, by the way, she's ever figured that out yet. I don't know.
She's probably telling people, have you seen that show, Laura Ingraham, on Netflix? People going, well, what's it about? It's about measles, as far as I'm aware. So they just cheer me up. And it just gives me an excuse to play you my favourite news argument clip of all time.
Okay.
I don't know how old this clip is. I'm guessing it's from the 90s. It was, again, a Fox, local Fox News coverage. It was obviously some story about getting lifts fixed in a block of flats. So the reporter is reporting live from the block of flats, right? He speaks to the woman, who's the complainant, and then he speaks to the guy, Steve, I think his name is, who is talking on behalf of the people who own the blocks of flats.
Okay, I've not heard this before. This should be good.
There's nobody on overtime. There's nobody working on the weekends. There's a lot that could be done to have this done a lot sooner.
As far as working, doing elevator repairs 6, 7, 8 o'clock at night, I don't see that as being a typical process, nor do I. Is it a typical process.
All right, Rick, you've got to go now. I want to thank you both. Thank you. All right, it's back to you, Jim.
Ollie, don't let her go away. What does she have a response to that? Is she still there?
What's that?
Did the lady just leave?
Yeah.
Oh, that's too bad. We should have kept that discussion.
She's back if you want her.
Yes.
She heard you.
Yes.
What would you like to know?
I'd like to know a response to what the gentleman said. The gentleman's a very effective spokesperson for the company, but obviously the people who live there are not satisfied with his explanation.
Right. So what do you want now?
Well, if I have to teach you how to be a reporter, Ollie, I'll do that later.
Why don't you do that later, Jim? I think the lady expressed herself, and you're not here, you're there. Is there any question you'd like me to ask her?
No, I'll give you lessons on how to become a reporter later.
I'll give you some lessons on how to be an editor, because I was your boss once.
Yeah, you were, and are no longer. How did that happen?
Oh, I'd love to be in the production meeting later that day, wouldn't you?
I mean, to be fair, he was being quite clear. He would like a response to what was asked of her. And then the guy would just seem flummoxed by it. I mean, it was a great clip, though.
Well, there we are. That's it for another Trev and Ben podcast. As always, just before we go, a couple of recommendations. I've got two films for you this week, Ben.
Go ahead.
First one is The Last Daniel Craig James Bond, No Time to Die.
Right.
Now available to rent on Sky. It's quite a long film. It's about 2 hours, 40-odd minutes. But all that hype that you might have heard about it, it stands up. It is absolutely incredible.
Really?
It is probably the best Bond film I've ever seen, and that's taking a long-standing title away from The World Is Not Enough, the Pierce Brosnan film, but this one I think might take that title of the best one I've ever seen. It's one of those films where you just, because you can't give anything away, you obviously can't give spoilers away, but you desperately want to talk to someone about it when it's finished.
Okay.
It's one of those. You want to get hold of someone who's seen it and go, did you see it? Did you?
I feel like we've talked before about James Bond on this podcast. And yeah. I kind of made my feelings clear that essentially all James Bond films follow the same exact pattern. But you're saying this is decent and deserves a watch.
Yeah, it definitely deserves a watch. As I say, it's a long film. You've got to devote the time to it, but well worth it. The other film I want to recommend was on BBC Two, I think it was, earlier this week, so it's still on the iPlayer, called Vice. It stars Christian Bale as former Vice President Dick Cheney. And I heard bits about this film over the last few years. I think it came out originally in 2017 or something. I mean, Christian Bale is fantastic in it. How he morphs into being Dick Cheney is incredible. It really is. But it's a very funny film because I think they make it quite clear that they haven't got all the facts. I think so they kind of do their best, but they make it quite funny. It's a very funny film, but a lot of reality in there as well. Well worth a watch. I really, really enjoyed it. I didn't, you know, I recorded it and thought, I'll get around to watching it. And then I started, and I really thought it was going to be a straight sort of biopic. But it's not a straight biopic at all. It's a bit left field, very funny.
And do you need to know much about Dick Cheney before you start watching it? You don't?
No, it's sort of all explained in the film. It kind of takes you from him being a young man sort of up to the near present day. But really good, really good. And the one thing I will say, if you do watch it, if you're not the sort of person who will sit through credits, make sure you get through at least the first bit of credits, because there's a bonus little scene which is probably the best bit of the whole fucking film.
Okay.
And if you miss that, you'd be Oh, it'd be such a shame. So there we are. Those are my two recommendations this week. Thank you very much for listening and downloading. Don't forget, you can get in touch with us anytime. We're at Trev and Ben on Twitter. And we'll catch you again next week. Till then, stay safe, stay well, take it easy.
Bye.